continue with the tales of the Baal Shem Tov. In the city of Mezhebish, where the Baal Shem Tov lived, there also dwelt a chosid of the Baal Shem Tov, a wise and pious individual whose name was Rav Wolf Kitzis. This Rav Wolf, as wise and as pious as he was, that's how poor he was. So poor was he that he was unable to marry off his daughter, who had reached marriageable age. It happened that once Baal Shem Tov said to him, Rav Wolf, why don't you see that your daughter gets married? Why don't you arrange a match for her? Rebbe, said Rav Wolf, I don't even have enough bread to eat. How can I possibly think of marrying off my daughter? With what will I possibly marry her off? The Baal Shem Tov did not receive this answer gladly, and he told him quite sternly that he should find a match for his daughter immediately. And when Rav Wolf heard this and again hesitated, the Baal Shem Tov said, I would like you to know that right now, that at the present, this is the right time for her shidduch. This is the time for her match to be made. I'd like you to send a special emissary, a special shaliach, at my expense to the city of Yasse, which was quite far away, and let this emissary tell the matchmaker there that you are willing to give nadin, willing to provide a dowry of 2,000 silver rubles, which is quite an extensive sum, and you are ready to give that, provided that the chosen, that the prospective bridegroom, is a Talmud Chochem, that he's a scholar and of good family. Hearing that the Baal Shem Tov told him not only that it be done immediately, but how much dowry to give and where to send the emissary, Rav Wolf hesitated no longer, and he carried out the instructions of the Baal Shem Tov immediately. He found an emissary, an agent, to set out to the city of Yass, and had this man look for him. The agent came to the city, and he described Rav Wolf Kitzis to the various matchmakers in the city of Yass, that Rav Wolf was a very, very pious chosid, a holy man, a learned individual, who had a very fine and upstanding daughter, and moreover, had promised to give a nadin, promised to give a dowry of 2,000 silver rubles. This was something the matchmakers were quite willing to hear, and they promptly began to put forward various propositions. However, none of these propositions found favor in the eyes of Rav Wolf's emissary, who knew about the good qualities of Rav Wolf and his family and the daughter, and he was hesitant about all the things that were forwarded to him, except for a certain scholarly young man who was the son of a wealthy and respected citizen of a very good family in the city of Yass. And he felt that this young man would be a fit match for the daughter of Rav Wolf. Acting as the emissary of Rav Wolf, he then drew up and signed a betrothal agreement, a tenoyim. And in this tenoyim contract, it was specified that the father of the bride, Rav Wolf, would give a nadin, would give a dowry of 2,000 silver rubles. The man came back to the city of Mezhebish and said to Rav Wolf, I have found a fine, upstanding, scholarly young man of good family. In fact, it's a wealthy family, and everything is fine. Rav Wolf was very pleased to hear of his agent's work. But now, with heavy heart, he made his way to the Baal Shem Tov concerning the dowry that he had promised. Where in the world does Rav Wolf, who doesn't even have money for bread, fine 2,000 silver ruble to marry off his daughter? Where does he find money for the presents that are traditionally given soon after the betrothal to the groom? Where does he find money for the wedding, for the trousseau? What is he to do? And so he came to the Baal Shem Tov, asking the Baal Shem Tov, may I in Yoveh Ezri, from where will my salvation come? As soon as he arrived by the Baal Shem Tov's house, the holy Baal Shem wished him Mazel Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov reassured him that you don't have to worry in the least, because God will surely help you, and you will be able to honor your promise, said the Baal Shem Tov to Rav Wolf. So you need not worry about the wedding, about the preparations. You'll see that you will be helped, and you'll be able even to pay off this large dowry. A few weeks after the Tanoim, the betrothal agreement, had been signed, Rav Wolf received a letter from his mechutan, from the father of the groom, which expressed a bit of surprise that the father of the bride had not yet sent any of the customary gifts that was the custom to be sent from the father of the Kala, from the father of the bride, to the chosen, to the intended bridegroom. Rav Wolf, at loss of what to do, went to the holy Baal Shem Tov, who had started this whole situation, and he showed the letter to the Baal Shem Tov, and says, look, Rebbe, here my mechutan, the father of the bridegroom, says that he was expecting the presents, and nothing has happened. Don't worry, said the Baal Shem Tov. I told you that you will be helped. I told you that you will see that soon God will help you. Just take it easy and you'll see it come to pass. A few weeks later, a similar letter arrived from the mechutan, from the father of the prospective groom. And again, the letter states, where are the presents? Rav Wolf, who doesn't have two kopecks to rub together, was so certain, however, of his Rebbe's of the promises of the Baal Shem Tov that they would be fulfilled, and of his Rebbe's reassurances, that he didn't even answer the letter. Seeing that the first two letters were producing no real results, the father of the bridegroom wrote once again, but in a different tone than before. The first two letters were fine and gentle and imploring and friendly and asking for the gifts. Here, however, the third letter he wrote that if he would receive no reply to this, his third letter, and nothing would be forthcoming for his son, he would return the betrothal agreement, and the shidduch, the match, would become nullified. We can imagine with what heavy heart this letter was received by Rav Wolf, and as he did with the first two letters, he took this letter as well to his Rebbe, to the holy Baal Shem Tov. Rebbe, what do I do now? Write to him, said the Baal Shem Tov, and tell him that the bridegroom should arrive at the time set for the wedding. And im yirtzeh Hashem, God willing, everything will be ready, including the dowry, the gifts for his son, all those things that he is expecting. Tell him that when he comes, it'll be ready and waiting for him. Rav Wolf, of course, followed the instructions of the Baal Shem Tov. And because Rav Wolf's fame as a pious individual and as an upright individual was known to the father of the bridegroom, so the father of the bridegroom took him at his word and figured that everything will be happening at that time when he arrives, and he began his preparations for the wedding. Time is drawing close to the wedding. Rav Wolf has not a cent to his name. And he doesn't know what to do. And as the date approached, Rav Wolf visited the Baal Shem Tov once again, asking the Rebbe, now what do I do? And was told by the Baal Shem Tov, write again to your mechutin, to the father of the groom, and invite him to arrive 3 days before the wedding, because you want to spend some time getting to know him, and you want to spend some time getting to know the chosen, and you want to celebrate together with him even before the wedding. Once again, Rav Wolf followed the instructions of the Baal Shem Tov and writes a letter saying, dear Mechutin, please come a few days early so we can celebrate in the proper manner, and this will be the best way that we truly celebrate in a very, very happy way. Several days before the wedding itself, Rav Wolf receives yet another letter from the bridegroom's father, this time saying that he and his family were on the way to Mezhebish for the happy and blessed event for the wedding, and he's looking forward to meeting the entire family, and of course looking forward to the gifts, and looking forward to the dowry, all those things that were promised. It was with a sad, sad face indeed that Rav Wolf set out to show this letter to his Rebbe, to the Baal Shem Tov. What is he to do now, several days before the wedding, and his financial situation has improved not a bit? On his way to show the letter to the Baal Shem Tov, he met a stranger. Rav Wolf met a stranger who asked him, can you please tell me where the Baal Shem Tov lives, because I've got to see the Baal Shem Tov. Oh, said Rav Wolf, I'm on my way there myself, and I'd be glad to show you the way. Just come along with me, and we'll go together. When they arrived, the Baal Shem Tov greeted the guest, and he said to the guest, I would like to tell you a true story. Listen carefully. And this is the story that I'm about to tell you. There was once a very, very wealthy timber merchant who used to float large rafts of logs to Prussia. For one such consignment alone, he received some 40,000 silver rubles, a veritable fortune. Now, this merchant owned a splendid carriage with fine horses, which had its own coachman, a Gentile wagon driver who was the chauffeur. He drove the coach, and he was the one that always drove this merchant on his journeys. On his way home, with his wallet of money containing the 40,000 silver rubles, the merchant fell asleep as they entered a forest, and unbeknownst to him, the driver directed the carriage off the road into the wild thickets of the forest, and there, surrounded only by trees, far away from civilization, the driver awoke the merchant. The merchant wakes up, and to his consternation, he sees that his driver, who he had known for so many years, all of a sudden has an axe which is being wielded over his head and demanding of him all his money. The merchant trembled in terror and begged the wagon driver, please, at least let me keep half of this, and you keep the other half. No, said the driver, I want it all. And if I do not receive the entire sum immediately, I will kill you on the spot. Okay, I'm ready to give you the money, said the merchant. But at least spare my life, put down that axe. And here he said, and saying this, he gave the 40,000 ruble to the wagon driver. As soon as the wagon driver received the money, he said, huh, let you live? How can I let you live? You'd go and tell the whole story. I have to kill you. The merchant began begging for his life and pleading with the driver and say, please, I assure you, I promise you, I will not kill. Just spare my life. But the driver remained unmoved. He said, I must kill you. There's nothing else that I can do. I'm sure the word would get out if I let you live, and I cannot take that chance, and you've got a few minutes of grace so that you can say your last prayers before you die. That I will grant you. But more than that, you're asking too much. The driver tied the merchant to a tree with stout rope and left him to recite his last prayers and vidui, his confession, in private. The merchant, realizing that the end was near, poured out his soul before God, crying bitterly, confessing his sins, saying the vidui prayers and whatever else he was able to say, and at the same time he made a solemn vow. Ribbono shel Olam, he said, Master of the universe, if I am saved from the hands of this murderer, I will give a tenth of all this money, I will give miser of this money to tzedakah, I will give a tenth of this money to charity. At that very moment, as he was making his vow, his bitter cries and weeping and supplication reached the ears of the forest's watchman. And hearing from a distance that there was a man in the forest crying bitterly, something which generally did not happen in a forest, and this man is crying at the top of his lungs, the watchman was attracted to the sound. And with gun in hand, he went quickly to the spot where this poor merchant was tied to the tree. And he saw the poor man's predicament and quickly freed him from his bonds. The merchant had barely managed to tell the watchman what had happened and thank him for saving him when the wagon driver suddenly reappeared on the scene. The watchman, who was a big and burly gentleman, seized the driver by surprise, tied him up with the very same ropes that the driver had used to tie up the merchant, and took him out of the forest and led him to the police. After being interrogated by the police, the wagon driver returned all the money that he had stolen, and was thrown into prison for a lengthy sentence. As for the merchant himself, he made his way joyfully home, the whole time thanking the Almighty who had saved his life from the very hands of a murderer who was about to take his life. All this was part of the story that the Baal Shem Tov was telling this visitor, the guest who had come in, and who the Baal Shem Tov said immediately upon the guest's arrival, I would like to tell you a story. The Baal Shem Tov then went on to continue the story, and he said, when this merchant came home, although he had been saved from a certain death, nevertheless, weeks passed by, and somehow or other, whether it was on purpose or mistakenly, but he utterly forgot about the vow which he had made in his hour of travail, that he would be giving 10% of the 40,000 silver ruble to charity in honor or in the merit of his being saved, if God would be so kind to save him. And not one penny of this amount was given by this merchant to charity from all the 4,000 ruble that he had promised, that one-tenth that he had promised to give to charity. This merchant had two fine children, one boy and one girl. A few weeks after the events in the forest, the young girl suddenly took ill and passed away. But this did not cause the merchant to begin thinking, and he did not remember about paying his debt to the poor. This money had yet to be given to charity. A little later, his young son suddenly became ill. He became so ill that though they called in the greatest of doctors, like he had done for his daughter, all the doctors gave up hope about this child. They said, he's in God's hands, he's not within our hands, there's nothing that we or medical science can do with your son, he is so desperately, desperately ill. The merchant was beside himself, didn't know what to do, asked people for advice, and one of the people who he asked for advice told him that in the town of Mezhebish, there lived a certain Baal Shem, a master of the good name, a miracle maker, a holy man, who was able to work wonders, and if anybody can help your son, he would be the one that could do it. And so the Baal Shem Tov concluded his story. This merchant set out to visit the Baal Shem Tov in order to ask him to pray and intercede for the life of his only son, who was standing at death's door. I need not tell you that the guest who had accompanied Rav Wolf to the home of the Baal Shem Tov was none other, of course, than that merchant, that timber merchant, who had come to ask the Baal Shem Tov to pray for his son. And hearing the whole story from the Baal Shem Tov himself, the man was very, very moved. And when the Baal Shem Tov came to the end of the story, the merchant was deeply shaken, for now he remembered the promise that he had made and he had yet to fulfill. And he turned to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, Rebbe, I'm ready right now to give away that money to whoever you want me to give, whatever you want me to give, I'm ready to do it. Just see to it, please, please, that my son be spared, that he live. In that case, said the Baal Shem Tov, take out 4,000 rubles and give them to Rav Wolf Kitzis, this gentleman here who has to marry off a daughter. And now you can perform the great commandment of Hachnosas Kala, of making possible a marriage. This is a wonderful tzedakah. And this gentleman who is standing with you and listening to this story, he is the perfect individual for whom you should give these 4,000 rubles that you had pledged. Of course, the merchant listened hastily and completely to what the Baal Shem Tov said, and turned over the 4,000 ruble to Rav Wolf. And now Rav Wolf, thank God, had his money. He had the $2,000 silver ruble for dowry. He had money to buy gifts for the bridegroom. He had money to prepare a chasna, prepare a wedding. Had money for clothing for everybody. And he took care of all his needs. But besides that, he said to the merchant, please, nothing would make me happier than if you would stay here and share in my joy, which you made possible, because it's you that has made possible this whole entire wedding and all the festivities. And if you would stay, remain as my honored guest, I would see to it that you have the best time possible, and my joy would be complete. The merchant soon heard, before he left Mezhebish, that his son had recovered and was getting better and better and soon would have a total recovery, and stayed over for the wedding, enjoyed it immensely. And as for Rav Wolf, Rav Wolf saw how the word of the Baal Shem Tov and the promises of the Baal Shem Tov unfailingly and unflinchingly came to pass in time for him to be able to fulfill all the promises that he had made.